complaint, sir.
Last time I was here was 2020, March 2020. And I was speaking about why does God allow suffering? It was when about a week before lockdown, and I was talking about suffering and asking the question, and I used Joseph, technical dream coach, the story of Joseph, and I was trying to make a comparison between Joseph's suffering and trying to answer that question. So Joseph's suffering, he was a spoiled teen, you know the story, a spoiled teen who turned out to be the ruler of Egypt. And my point was over that time is that God needed to refine him, God needed to change him from a spoiled teen into somebody who he could use. And just in that refining process, if you think of gold, refining gold, you think of a sculpture, you have to hammer it, you have to beat it, you have to change it through a refining process. And that was my comparison. That in order for God to use us, we have to go through a refining process, and it sometimes includes a bit of suffering. So that was Pentecost. Today I'm going to talk about something that's using a different character from the Bible. So my question is, are you in a situation of doubt? Are you in a situation where you can't see the end? You know, you can't find a solution. And then going on to that, you will say, well, nothing is too hard for God. There's nothing that's too hard for God. What you need then is faith, I would say. What you really need is faith. So then you will ask me, okay then, well, what is faith? What is this thing that I need? What is faith? So if I could ask Philip to read Hebrews 11, 1 to 9, and let's see if you could understand what faith is.
I'm reading from the NIV version, Hebrews chapter 11, and starting with verse 1. Faith in action. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise.
So let's see if you can unpack. Philip read and used a number of Old Testament characters. I will focus at a minute on Noah and Abraham. So Genesis 6, verse 9 says that Noah was accustomed to speaking to God. That's how it starts. It says, and Noah spoke with God. That's actually how it starts in Genesis 6:9. And it also goes on to say he was blameless among his peers, among the villagers. But God was not happy with the villagers. God was not happy with those who were living around Noah. So God has a conversation with him. God says, Noah, this is what I'm going to do. So the first thing I'm going to pack there is that you have to be in a constant communication with God for Him to tell you what He's going to do.
Amen.
Then in Genesis 6:14, when He's telling Noah what He's going to do, He says, I'm going to ask you to build an ark. Now, I was looking into previous chapters and previous verses. Is there any evidence of what an ark is? Who would know what an ark is? In the middle of the desert, on a mountain, why would you need to build an ark? What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
So this sounds to me like something that Noah had no idea what he was talking about. There's no evidence of any mass structures, any kind of reason to build such a vessel or structure. So back to my point again. If you're not in constant communication with God, you won't be aware when He's asking you to do something that is little or something that is really large. So, Genesis 6:17, He says, I will bring flood waters on the earth. And my question again, what's a flood? No, not be asked. What's a flood?
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the desert, it doesn't rain. Why would we need for flood? So this is something that He couldn't even perceive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Never had any flood, at least definitely not at that magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
What's my point? What is my point? My point is this. In order for us to do either something little or large for God, we need to be in constant communication with Him. From the beginning, He said, back to the point, Noah was speaking with God. That's where He opened the conversation about this character called Noah. So faith is believing in something not possible by human action. You're believing in something that you really should be believing in because it's not possible. That's what faith is. If you can believe it, if you can perceive it, there's no need for faith. I don't need any faith to sit down there and sit on chairs all the time. If you can believe it, if you can perceive it, there's no need for faith.
Mm.
So let's go to a different Bible character. Genesis 12:1. And it starts the same way. Abraham speaks with God and is instructed to move to Canaan. So he was living with his father and his nephew in a different area, and after the father died, he was instructed to move to Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said again, in this first part of this verse, he's talking about this individual called Abraham, and the first thing he's saying, this individual is speaking with God. It's a similar situation as Noah. You have to be in constant communication with God in order for you to know what His thoughts are.
Preach on.
Wow. Right, so in Genesis 12:14, he talks about the fact that Lot and Abraham have this conversation because the herdsmen in the field are beginning to squabble over the parcels of land. So Lot and Abraham separate. Abraham at the time gets what looks like the worst deal. He gets the bad packs of land. Lot goes and gets the best packs of land. And in conversation again, God says to him, not to worry about that. He's telling him, don't worry about it. Better is yet to come. So again, I'm harking back to the point that we need to be in constant communication with God to understand the circumstances that we're in. And even if we might be feeling that we get the raw end of the stick, God is going to be constantly communicating with us if we are really in that communication mode with Him. So if we fast forward, Abraham, is about 99 years, 100 years thereabouts. Genesis 15:16 says, and God, now that He's moved to this land of Canaan, God is having a conversation with him. And God is saying, well, I'm going to give all this land to your descendants. just before I stand in Genesis 15. I'm going to give you, you know, have you moved from the land where you were before, you know, in Canaan. I'm going to be giving you all this land to your descendants. Abraham is about 9,900 and has no children. So what are you talking about descendants? Why are we talking about descendants if I have no children? So he's saying, he said to God, because I have no children, you're telling me about descendants, I have no children. It is likely that Eleazar, who is probably a cousin or nephew, some relation, is going to be the one who is going to be inheriting this, all the land you're telling me about. So maybe you should be having a conversation with Eleazar, not having a conversation with me about descendants. And this is when God says to him, hang on a minute, actually, no. About this time next year, you will have a son. And it's through him you will have descendants. Now, as I said again, faith is believing in something not possible by human action. So if it was me, I would probably be like Sarah, because Sarah heard that she laughed. I would probably laugh as well and think that God is kind of pulling my leg, having me on. Because it isn't. If you look at the circumstance through human eyes, you would not accept it as being possible. But as what Phillips here read, he actually believed it. That's why I asked Phillips to read those books there. He actually believed what God said about the descendant. Back to the point again, faith is believing in something not possible by human actions, but if you're in constant communication with God from the early, you would be able to understand. So for example, just go back. When he spoke to God first, in the initial stages he spoke to God, God told him to emigrate. So he's having conversations with God on small matters in the early. Start early, small matters. And then he gives us another story when he separates from Lot. He's still having conversation with God about a little bit bigger matters.
Right.
And if you believe in God for these little things on the way, as you go along, when God asks you to do a big thing, you're likely to say yes. You're likely to believe it because he has come through on other things. So it's about having that conversation with God. You know, I've heard Basima say, faith is like muscle, developing your muscle. You have to start on small weights. If you go to the gym, you start on small weights, and you build your muscle on small weights. And as you progress on bigger weights, then you will really lift 1,000 kilograms because you're starting on small weights. So think of it in the same way. You have this conversation with God from early on smaller matters, so that when it comes to a time when God asks you to do something really not possible, you will really believe because you have seen the evidence that faith in action works.
Amen.
So if I'm to just bring these 2 points to a conclusion, both Noah and Abraham were in the habit of speaking with God from before they were asked to do great things. They were asked to do smaller things. So what's my point? My point when I asked you before, are you in a seemingly unsolvable solution? Do you find that you are in a spot of God and can't get up? And then I said, well, what you actually need is faith. So now you understand what faith is and how you can apply this faith to your own life and your own circumstance. Thank you.
Thank you.